Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are looking at something that is likely staring at you right now, or maybe sleeping at your feet, twitching its paws.
We're talking about dogs.
We are talking about dogs, but we are talking about training or, you know, the best breed for apartment living. We are talking about the massive industrial machinery that feeds them.
And this is one of those topics where once you see the argument in today's source, you really can't unsee it. We are doing a deep dive into Work Wonders, Feed Your Dog Raw Meaty Bones by Dr. Tom Lonsdale.
This book is, wow, I think intense is the fair word. It's not just a diet book. It feels more like a manifesto.
Oh, it is absolutely a manifesto. Dr. Lonsdale is basically playing the role of a whistleblower in the veterinary world.
Right.
He's arguing that the modern world has been sold a massive lie about pet care, a lie that's costing us billions and, according to him, causing immense silent suffering for our pets.
And he kicks the whole thing off with something so common, so universal, that we barely even think about it anymore.
Dog breath.
Dog breath. Exactly. If I lean over to a friend's dog, I expect it to smell, well, like a dog. We make jokes about it. Whoa, buddy, you could peel paint with that.
We buy them minty chew sticks to cover it up.
But Lonsdale stops you right there on page one. He says, that is not a joke.
He hits hard immediately. He says, if you smell dog breath, what you are actually smelling is rotting tissue. You're smelling a bacterial infection.
Whoa.
He argues that a healthy dog, a dog living as nature intended, should have breath that smells like, well, nothing. Sweet, maybe, neutral. If it stinks, he says, that animal is sick.
That is such a heavy opener. It immediately frames the whole conversation. What we all think is normal is actually pathology.
Mm-hmm.
So the mission for this deep dive is to really unpack Lonsdale's radical argument. Why does he think commercial pet food, the kibble, the cans, is basically junk food? And if we're not supposed to feed that, what on earth are we supposed to feed?
And we should probably throw in a quick disclaimer here. We're analyzing Dr. Lonsdale's specific arguments.
Mm.
We are not veterinarians, so if you're thinking about changing your dog's diet, you have to do your own research.
But be warned, Lonsdale thinks your vet might actually be part of the problem. So,
I think it's complicated.
It does. We'll get to the conspiracy angle later because it is wild. But let's start with the biology. Lonsdale says we have fundamentally misunderstood the animal that's living in our house.
You treat them like little furry humans.
Or just these distinct domesticated creatures. But he says, you know, look under the hood. He goes straight back to the DNA.
The wolf.
The domestic dog, Canis lupus familiaris, is genetically almost identical to the gray wolf. The difference is something like 0.2%. Their digestive tract, their teeth, their enzymes. They haven't changed much just because they started sleeping on our sofas.
So even though my golden retriever looks like a big teddy bear and acts like a total goofball on
right.
his side, the actual machinery is still strictly wolf.
Yeah.
Precisely. The engine is a wolf engine. And because of that, Lonsdale introduces a term that I think is the key to this whole book. He really dislikes the word carnivore. He calls them carcassivores.
Carcassivore. That sounds a lot more graphic.
It is graphic, but the distinction is vital to his whole argument. If you say carnivore, people just think meat eater. So they go buy a pound of ground beef, put it in a bowl, and think they're feeding a natural diet. Lonsdale says, absolutely not.
Because in the wild, a wolf doesn't just eat the steak.
They eat the carcass.
The whole package.
Everything. The bones, the skin, the fur, the feathers, the stomach contents, you name it. A carcass is a complete nutritional package. It's got calcium from the bones, fiber from the fur, vitamins from the organs. If you just feed muscle meat, the dog can actually get sick.
Okay, so this leads into his theory of the two needs. This is a really helpful framework for me to understand why he hates kibble so much.
It's the best way to see where commercial food fails. Lonsdale says food has to satisfy a chemical need and a physical need. The chemical need is the nutrient profile, protein, fat, zinc, all that stuff.
And this is what the pet food bags always brag about, right?
Mm-hmm.
100% complete and balanced.
Exactly. And they are, chemically speaking. They have labs to make sure the brown powder in that kibble hits every metric. They can prove on paper that the nutrients are there. But Lonsdale argues they're completely ignoring the second need, the physical need.
The physical need? Break that down for us.
The need for the food to be tough.
Yeah.
To have structure. To require actual work to eat. He uses a great analogy about zoo animals.
Oh, right, the tiger analogy.
Yeah. If you go to a modern zoo, you don't see them feeding the lions a bowl of brown cereal. They toss in a whole carcass. Zookeepers learned decades ago that if you feed a big cat soft food, their teeth rot and they die young.
So Lonsdale's asking,
yeah,
Why do we get this for a tiger in a zoo, but we forget it for a German shepherd in our kitchen?
It's a great question, and Lonsdale says that ignoring this physical need, the need to rip and tear and crunch, is the root of all evil.
Which brings us right to the dental connection. I really didn't realize how mechanical the act of eating was supposed to be for a dog. He calls raw, meaty bones nature's toothbrush.
It's all about the mechanics. I mean, think about a dog's mouth. Their teeth are like scissors designed to slice and shear. When a dog tackles a whole chicken frame, they have to gnaw. They have to turn their head sideways, use those back molars, and slice through everything.
So it's the friction that cleans them.
Exactly. The hide rubbing the gums, the bones scraping the enamel, it physically scrubs the mouth clean. It's like flossing and brushing all at once.
Now, contrast that with kibble. Lonsdale uses a very specific and kind of gross word for kibble in the mouth. He calls it sludge.
Sludge is the perfect word. Even if it's hard in the bag, the moment it mixes with saliva, it turns into this sticky paste. And here's a critical fact. Dogs don't have amylase in their saliva.
Amylase is the enzyme humans have for breaking down starch, right?
Correct. When we eat a cracker, it starts dissolving in our mouth. For a dog, it doesn't. So when a dog eats that grain-based kibble, that sugary, starchy paste just sits there. It sticks to the teeth and gets wedged under the gum line.
And just stays there.
It just stays there, creating a petri dish for bacteria, and that is where the disease starts. Lonsdale cites stats saying that between 80% and 100% of adult dogs on commercial diets have periodontal disease.
I need to pause on that. 100%. That basically means all dogs.
Almost all dogs over a certain age, and the really insidious part is that it's often invisible to the owner until it's way too late.
And this is the part that really scared me when I was reading. It's not just about Fido might lose a tooth, it's the systemic link.
This is the deep insight. The mouth is highly vascular, tons of blood vessels. If you have a festering bacterial infection in the gums, those bacteria are constantly leaking into the bloodstream every single time the dog chews.
So the kidney failure, the heart murmur, the liver issues.
Yeah.
The things we just write off as getting old.
Lonsdale argues those are often secondary. They're the result of the primary cause. The dirty mouth poisoning the system, year after year. He calls it a toxin shower.
And we're just treating the symptoms.
We are. We're giving the heart meds or the special kidney diets while ignoring that the dog is basically eating poison every day.
He even suggests a smell test for the whole body. I actually tried this with my neighbor's dog after reading the book.
Oh, yeah.
The dog smelled kind of fusty, dusty, and my hand felt greasy after petting him. I always just thought that was dog smell.
Lonsdale says that is the smell of the body trying to detox. That doggy smell is waste products coming out through the skin because the organs are overloaded. He even mentions junk food farts.
I laughed at that, but it makes so much sense.
A healthy, raw-fed dog shouldn't have constant gas, and they shouldn't smell greasy. He says a raw-fed dog basically has no odor at all.
Okay, so the problems of the mush. The solution for Lonsdale is a return to the wild diet. But let's get practical.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the suburbs. I can't just release a deer in my backyard. What does he actually recommend?
He calls it the 70% rule. He suggests 70% of the dog's diet should be raw, meaty bones.
And we need to be very specific about what that term means.
We do. It is not a bare bone. It is not a T-bone steak bone you saved from dinner. It has to be raw and it has to be surrounded by meat. It's a meal, not a toy.
So give me the shopping list. What am I looking for?
Chicken frames are kind of the gold standard for most people. That's the back and rib cage of the chicken after the good bits are removed for humans. They're soft, complex to eat. Also, turkey necks, oxtails, lamb necks, and for the very brave, sheep heads.
Sheep heads, we're talking eyes, brain, tongue, the whole deal.
The whole deal. Lonsdale says a sheep head is the perfect meal for a large dog. It forces them to work for 20 or 30 minutes. It's like a Rubik's Cube made of meat.
That is a visual. Yeah. And the raw part in all caps. That's non-negotiable.
Absolutely fatal if you get this wrong. Never, ever feed cooked bones. Cooking makes bone brittle like glass. It splinters. Raw bone is leathery and pliable. A dog's stomach acid is like industrial strength hydrochloric acid. It dissolves raw bone. But cooked bone is a real danger.
Okay, so that's 70%. What's the other 30%?
This is where he surprises people. He suggests offal liver, kidneys about once a week. But he also says, table scraps are totally fine.
I see. That goes against everything I've ever been told. Don't feed the dog from the table.
Lonsdale thinks that rule is just marketing to keep you buying kibble. He says, look at the wolf again. They're scavengers. So leftover pasta, stale bread, vegetable ends. He says, toss it in the bowl. It adds variety.
Just avoid the big no-nos.
Yeah.
Onions, chocolate, grapes.
Right. But generally, he advocates for a much more relaxed scavenger style. He says, you don't need a measuring cup. You need to look at your dog getting fat, feed less.
Now let's talk sourcing. I can find chicken backs at the butcher. But Lonsdale goes a step further. He suggests roadkill.
Yeah. This is the part where some listeners might tap out.
He wants me to keep a cooler in my car.
If you live where it's legal and safe, he argues that a freshly hit deer or rabbit is the most natural, organic, perfect food you could possibly give your dog. It's exactly what they evolved to eat.
I mean, logically, he's right. It's free range. It's organic. Culturally, though, it's a big leap to scrape a rabbit off the tarmac and put it in my trunk.
It is a massive leap, but it highlights his philosophy. Waste not, want not. We throw away millions of tons of waste meat that could feed our pets perfectly while we spend millions manufacturing synthetic pellets.
He also mentions one benefit that I think everyone can get behind. The poop situation.
Ah, yes. The chalky white stool.
Explain this, because dog owners are weirdly obsessed with poop.
Well, dogs on kibble produce huge, smelly piles. That's because the food is full of fillers they can't digest. But a raw-fed dog absorbs almost everything. Lonsdale says their waste is small, firm, barely smells, and turns white and crumbly in the sun.
Less smell and less cleanup. That's a win. But we have to address the fear. Every listener right now is thinking, if I give my dog a chicken bone, he will choke.
Lonsdale devotes a whole section to this. He knows the fear is real. We've been told bones kill dogs for decades. But he says choking is actually rare if you follow the size rule.
And the size rule is?
Go big. The danger, paradoxically, is in the small pieces. If you chop a turkey neck into 1-inch chunks, a dog might try to swallow them whole, like a pill. That can cause a blockage.
So don't cut it up for them.
Never cut it up. Give them a slab that is bigger than their head. It forces the dog to stop, lie down, hold it with their paws, and rip it apart. They literally cannot swallow it whole.
What about bacteria?
Yeah.
Salmonella. We're all trained to bleach our countertops if raw chicken touches them.
Well, maybe feed them outside. But for the dog's health, he dismisses the worry entirely. He reminds us, dogs lick their own bottoms, they drink from puddles. Their digestive tract is short and highly acidic, designed to handle bacteria that would put us in the hospital.
He calls bacteria tiny live prey, doesn't he?
He does. He thinks our sterile environment is actually weakening their immune systems, that exposure is natural and necessary.
He's also pretty savage about supplements. The pet store shelves are full of them.
Expensive urine, that's what he calls them. He says if you feed the bone, you get calcium. If you feed the liver, you get vitamins. Nature balances the diet over time, not in every single meal. That idea is just a marketing trick.
He even critiques other raw diets, like the BARF diet. I thought they would be allies.
They're close, but Lonsdale has a specific beef with any minced raw food. See those frozen patties of raw ground meat now?
Yeah, the high-end pet stores.
He calls that a pity.
Why? It's raw meat?
Because it's ground up. If it's ground, you lose the toothbrush effect. The dog just swallows the mush. So the teeth still rot, the gums still get infected, and the systemic disease still happens. It must be a bone that requires chewing.
Okay, this leads to the final, most controversial part. If the biology is so clear, why does my vet sell science diet? Why does my vet tell me raw bones will kill my dog?
This is Section 5, the conspiracy of experts. Now, Lonsdale doesn't think vets are evil. He thinks they're victims of the trust trap.
Is this a follow the money situation?
Exactly. He breaks down the influence of the pet food giants, Mars, Nestle, Colgate, Palmolive. These huge conglomerates own the pet food brands. They sponsor the veterinary schools. They write the nutrition textbooks.
So a vet student spends years learning surgery, but their nutrition training basically comes from corporate pamphlets.
That's his argument. He uses a stinging analogy. He compares vets to dentists who sell sugary candy to children in the waiting room and then charge the parents to fix the cavities.
Wow. That's a brutal image.
It is. He says the vet sells the food that causes the disease and then sells the dentistry and the drugs to treat the disease. It's a self-sustaining cycle of sickness.
And Lonsdale speaks from experience here. He was part of that system.
He was. He calls himself a whistleblower. He spent years prescribing kibble and doing teeth cleanings, but he noticed the dogs just kept coming back sick. It wasn't until he switched his patients' diets that he saw real healing.
And he mentions some pretty miraculous turnarounds in the book.
He does. Dogs with chronic skin conditions, oozing sores, hair loss things, treated with steroids for years. He puts them on raw, meaty bones, and within weeks, the hair grows back. Aggressive dogs become calm. old stiff dogs start running again.
He attributes it all to just removing the toxic load of the processed diet.
It's a compelling case. It paints a picture of a species just chronically exhausted from fighting its own food, surviving, not thriving.
So to wrap this up, the Lonsdale philosophy is pretty simple. Stop the chemical poisoning, start the physical cleaning.
And trust your own eyes. That's his biggest takeaway. Don't trust the label on the bag. Don't even blindly trust the person in the white coat. Look at your dog. Lift the lip.
That's the challenge for you, the listener, today.
Go check your dog right now. If the teeth are brown, if the breath smells like death, that is a red flag you can't ignore. That is a sign of disease.
It really forces you to ask a tough question. Lonsdale suggests we feed kibble not because it's better for the dog, but because it's easier for us.
It's neat. It's convenient. It comes in a cute bag. We don't have to handle raw meat. We don't have to look at a sheep head.
But if that convenience is causing a slow, painful decline for our best friends, can we really justify it? Are we feeding them for their sake or for ours?
That's the question that might send you to the butcher shop tomorrow morning.
Or to the side of the road with a cooler.
Hey, waste not, want not.
Thank you all for listening to this deep dive into Work Wonders. Check those teeth, do the smell test, and we'll catch you on the next one.